But Jesus tells us in our daily planet, of all the places you need to change to be delivered from evil, you need to get into your prayer closet and you will come out with an S on your chest. It's called salvation. So why do we have this up here? Because our series is called Wireless. And today, of the seven things Jesus said in the prayer, in this communication, today's day six. You've got to get in there so that you can be delivered from evil. Wow. I'm a Christian. You know what that means? In Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, I want to remind you. He says, I want to remind you in verse 1, he starts out, and he goes through this thing, says, you know, Moses, God took all these people, he put a cloud over them, and then he had them pass through the sea. That's awesome. You know what God did? He's saying, you need to understand something. Before you get into this whole thing about temptation and delivering from evil, you need to know something in your life. That you identify with Christ. You've been covered. You have been covered by the cloud of his glory in salvation. And then he took you through the water. Now, for Moses, he did that for about 2 million, all like that. For me, he covered me in glory. He forgave me of my sins, and he took me through. I actually stood up and said, I'm getting baptized. And in front of everybody, I got into a tank of water of all things in this world to do. What a strange, odd thing to do. And a pastor dunked me in a thing of water, and I was raised up. I identified and said, I am, and here it is, that name Jesus, I'm in. I identify with you, Jesus. I'm called a Christian, Jesus Christ. So I'm a Christian. What does that mean? It means I'm a little Christ. That's what the word means, literally, a little Christ. I'm Christ-like. I'm under you. So what does that mean in the world? That means everything. I'm identified. Because that means everything, as a Christian in America, maybe that only means to you, you had to get up this morning with 1 hour less sleep. The government owes you. Go collect on that. Is that really your whole identity in Christ? I got up to go to church? Because in most places in the world, in most places in history, it means this. Because I identify myself in Christ, I live in a world that is absolutely going to throw the kitchen sink at me. It is not popular. It is not intelligent. It is not politically correct. It is not even right to name Jesus Christ in our world today, except for this. You keep him in your box on Sunday morning, but do not leak outside of the building. Because the minute you get in the world, we'll just tell you what kind of laws will hinder you. We'll tell you how dumb you really are, and we'll tell you how you don't know education in your books, because we want to separate Jesus from everything. I identify with the name Jesus Christ. I'm a little Christ. I'm a follower. I'm in. And because of that, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, or chapter 10, verse 13, it says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to Christians, to man, to people. What does that mean? It means the world every day is trying to seize you and get you out of Christ. You may not understand it, because we need to talk about this temptation. Jesus said, you got to get in the phone booth, you got to get in the prayer closet, or you are not going to come out with any kind of power, and you're going to get defeated. A lot of you as Christians are getting beat up every day, and you don't know why. You're going to get beat upon, but it doesn't mean you need to be beat up. I meet people all the time, oh, pastor, I'm just going through so much. Well, join the party. What world are you wanting to live in? That's on its way. For me, a little sooner than it was yesterday. I'm a day closer to that world. But until that day comes, welcome to the real world. Jesus takes us into a wilderness to go through this stuff. It's an incredible thing. So I want to move into the most strange passage in all of Scripture to me. I translated this in Greek in college. It was my kind of thesis, and it's found in James chapter 1, and it'll help you explain what the devil wants to do in your life. And not just because you're a Christian, it's to every human being. He has one purpose: to steal, kill, and to destroy you. And he does it through temptation. Temptation is not a sin, by the way. Let me just make that clear. Oh, I'm just being tempted. So am I. So is Jesus. Temptation is not defeat. Temptation is opportunity. See, temptation is, John Quincy Adams, president of the United States, said this, quote, "Temptation is just an opportunity to draw closer to your God." That's what our presidents used to say. Oh, here he goes. He's getting political. I'm going to get everything. Because the Word of God is crystal clear. So in James chapter 1, it says this is how it all goes down. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted, nor does he tempt anyone. And here it is in verse 14. "But each of you is tempted when by your own evil desire you're dragged away and then you're enticed." So the first thing is you're tempted. And then by your own evil desires, you're dragged away. That's two. Number three is then you're enticed. You're in. Boy, and after you're enticed, verse 15 says, "After desire has conceived in you, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death." Four parts in that process. You may not understand it, so I brought a little illustration along, because this whole thing is all about fishing. And James, the half-brother of Jesus who wrote this, knew something about fishing. He said, "You don't understand. What this is the first part," let's go back to that verse 14. Verse 14 says, "Each one is tempted by when his own evil desires, he's dragged away." That's a fishing term. It says each one is tempted. It's like a trout that's sitting in the water, and if you've ever been fishing, they're under this rock. And it's under the rock, and then it says each one is tempted. Satan throws a lure out into the water. And he's trying to draw you out from the safety, the anointing. Yeah, I know, I've got a worm on there. It's a gummy worm. Because that's what Satan does, right? He puts it out there. He's trying to, "I know you want it." And he just puts it out there. He knows your bait, by the way. He knows what lure gets you. Apparently, that doesn't work for anybody. I thought for sure these teams would be like, "Gummy worms." Nobody came and got it? Maybe. Oh, that is so good. Maybe we need a different lure. Now we're fishing for bigger things. Now we're talking. I think I'm going to get a bite. Really? There's a college student over here. Apparently, that one got away. You know, it's amazing. I'll tell you what, Satan knows. Satan knows the lure to use for you. Do you know Satan knows you? And maybe that wasn't enough. Maybe for some of you, you need something else. Maybe some of you just need a different one. Oh, boy, the fish are coming out now. Wow, here we go. Satan knows your lure. He doesn't know your lure because he reads your mind. Satan's not omniscient. He can't read your mind. You know how he knows your lures? You know how he knows what to tempt you with? He simply watches your life and your habits and what you're into. And that's how he knows you. He knows you. And the same thing that tempts you may not tempt me. And you know what? All he has to do is get the right kind of shiny. And all he wants to do, it says here, each one is tempted. Every one of you are tempted. You're a human being. You're breathing. Every one of you are tempted. And after temptation, look at this. And then when your own evil desires, what does it say? He's dragged away. Watch this fishing term. You leave the safety of the rock. You are under Paul not say that? Moses. You passed, you took the people, the cloud was over them. You passed through the water, and God gave you the water, the rock, that traveled with you through the desert, and the rock is Jesus. Wow, did you ever tie those things together? I know, isn't that amazing? God is just trying to let us know. He has put a covering over us. And after each one is dragged away and enticed, now I'm going to move into some Greek that could be offensive. So if you're young in here, if you're under 50, cover your ears. Because here's what it says. It says each one does this. Once you're dragged away, the second part, you're dragged away and enticed. Look what happens. Now you're out there. Boom. You're hooked. It conceives. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. The Greek, looking at the Greek translation in this, it says this. It says the Greek word is, it is violently jumped upon. Once you leave that rock, Satan violently jumps upon you. Once he's tempted you and lured you out of that safety, isn't that interesting? A violent jumping. And then it says, and then it conceives, the third part. And I looked that word up. It means to impregnate with a seed. Think about this. I'm going to translate this for you. Here we go. It says, if Satan can toss the right thing out there for you, be it the gummy worm, the $20 to get you out of your seat, the Snickers, the lust, what is it? Once he gets you out there, it says he's going to jump on you violently. The word is translated to rape you and to plant his seed in you. The scripture says that? No wonder why Christ came. No wonder why Jesus said, get in here, pray this way. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil that's about to pounce upon us if I go out there. And then the only place in all of scripture, I got to finish this. Look at that last, those last three, four words. Then, when it grows up, after you've been impregnated with the seed of sin, it grows and it gets stronger. And I'll tell you, when you have sin that grows in your life, it is harder to defeat. Whew. And then it says this, it's going to do something in your life. It's translated, that gives birth to death. It's translated this way. And I looked up the word sideways several times. It means to rip apart violently your life. It's translated abort. Satan wants to pounce upon you, grab your life, put his sin into your life so that it can grow fully and take life in you and just have you aborted and ripped apart to shrapnels. So no wonder why when we look at this, we go, Jesus said, please, please, pray this way. In part six of this, if you get in here and you walk out understanding this, I'm not, God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from what's about to take place in my life if I do this. Because Satan came in John 10:10 to steal, kill, and to destroy your life. No wonder why I go, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to do when sin's in my life? Thank goodness that someone stepped in when I came out from under that rock. Someone stepped in and took the hook right in the kisser. He reeled him in. He gutted him. He filleted him. He stretched him out. And he ripped his life apart for my sake. So when you understand what salvation is, because you've been lured into sin in your life, Jesus Christ at the right time took the hook for you. I hope that makes sense. I hope today you go, there is no other name under heaven by which men might be saved. For there is no other name I'm in love with. There's no more beautiful word than the name Jesus. The Bible calls him the Rose of Sharon. The Bible calls him the fairest of 10,000. He is my Alpha. He is my Omega. He's the beginning of my life. He's the beginning of my morning and he's the end of my day. He is my wonderful, my counselor, my almighty God. He's my everlasting Father. He's my Messiah. He's my Savior. He's my healer. He's my Redeemer. He is Jesus, and he is the Messiah this morning. Give him praise. Can you do that this morning? Whew. Satan is fishing today, but I am under the rock because I have been covered and I have passed through the water. Jesus gives us an answer this morning. We can't leave without a good answer, because some of you are just on that edge of that hook, and some of you, I would guess, this size of a group, Satan has got his hook deep into an area of your life. And your question is, God, how do I get out? Let me show you. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus goes into a wilderness. Isn't that interesting? Moses goes into a wilderness, led by the Spirit. Jesus goes into a wilderness, led by the Spirit, to be what? Let's go to the next verse. To do what? Who led him in the wilderness? The Holy Spirit. To be tempted. Wait, God told us, no, he won't lead any of us to be tempted. The word temptation and testing are the exact same Greek word in the Bible. Wait, so is the devil good or is God evil? No, neither one. The word is neutral in gender. It's not masculine and it's not feminine. What it means in the Greek, in language, and language has meaning, it means this: it's neutral. Whether you're being tested by God or tempted by Satan really has, it's not a good word and it's not a bad word. Because neither one are evil or good. They're both opportunities for you to either be evil or good. And here's the difference. God uses testing, same word, to strengthen us, to draw us to him. Satan uses tempting to draw us away from God and destroy us. Neither one matters, because if God is testing us and we fail the test, we're in sin. If Satan is tempting us and we succeed in the temptation, we're in sin. So whether you're being tested or tempted, you need to pass the test or the temptation. So it's really up to you. And they're both going to strengthen your life if you pass. So Jesus is led. He ate nothing during those 40 days. At the end of them, is the Bible got to point this out? He was hungry. Do I need to point out this morning? You got up an hour earlier. You're probably hungry. Pastor, finish the sermon. I would love to go down here to Theo's and get a country fried steak smothered in gravy and pepper. I know. I'm feeling the same way, buddy. Easton's like, come on, Pastor. Now you start talking about food. I'm hungry. Finish this. Jesus, watch this. Here's what Satan does. He throws a lure. First lure is this. It's a 2x4. Second lure is a kitchen sink. And if the 2x4 doesn't work and the kitchen sink doesn't work, he's going to throw at you the wrecking ball. Welcome to the battering ram. The first one he throws out is a 2x4. Some of you are 2x4 Christians. This works for you. Look what he does. The devil said, if you're the Son of God, you're hungry, tell this thing to become bread. Let me eat it. Do you know what? If you're hungry for 40 days, some of you aren't yourself. Have a Snickers bar. Forget 40 days. Some of you can't go 4 hours without food. Jesus is out there. Satan knows the lure. He throws this out. He says, I'll bet this guy is hungry. Whew. Tell this stone to become bread. Here's the 2x4. I'm so hungry. This is called the lust of the flesh. Some of you are fleshy. You need to get past this temptation. The lust of the flesh says, I'm hungry, I should eat. You know what? Just because you're hungry doesn't mean you have to eat. Your spirit needs to be in control. Jesus said you need to fast sometimes so that your body's not always in control. The lust of the flesh, whether it's pornography, food, gossip, tired, angry. Some of you have short tempers. Some of you say things wrong. You just fly off the handle. You're 2x4 Christians. He throws that out there and says, you've been wrong. You're tired. You're hungry. And Jesus said, wait, it's written. That's a 2x4 kind of person. Are you a 2x4 kind of person? And then the second type of person, maybe that didn't work. And so he brings out the bigger guns. And he brings the kitchen sink. And look at the next one. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, I'll give you their authority and splendor. Did you know this? It's been given to me to give away. Now, he's lying to a degree, but he's not lying. Satan has the ability to make you rich and popular and give you land, property, and money if you'll sell out to him. Well, that's not fair. Wait, so Jesus is sitting there. He says, if you just bow down to me. You know, right there, Jesus is tired. He's got to be thinking about that cross. He thinks, 40 days here is hard. Wait till I get to Gethsemane. They're going to rip and fillet my body apart. They're going to whip me 39 times. They're going to rip my beard out. They're going to pierce my hands. You know what? You'll give me all the, I can have my kingdom right now. I quit. And Jesus could have not gone to that cross for you. Because you know what? We have the lust of the eyes. This is greed. I can have it now. And you know how many of us want it now? That lure out there, now. The microwave oven's not cooking fast enough, now. That light needs to turn green faster, now. There was a train out here. I can't wait 30 minutes in my car. Well, what if we were riding horses? I mean, we have become so, I told our students Wednesday night, we were talking to the girls about dating and relationships. This week we're talking to the guys. We had 108 students over there, and I said, listen, girls, and I gave them this thing, say, listen, don't give in so quickly. Stop settling for what you're settling for. So many girls miss the point. I said, you need Mr. Right, not Mr. Right Now. Too many want Mr. Right Now or Mrs. Right Now. And trust me, those things aren't going to get you. And Jesus looks at him and says, you know what? No. Greed. Oh, greed. I mean, we sell out. We want the things of this world, and we go in debt. We work more hours to pay for things that we can't even use, and we miss time with our families and worship and this and that because we want it now. And Satan throws that lure out there, but if you just had that car, if you just had that gold, if you just had that money, what are you going to do with that money? You know, people say, well, Pastor, I see people that get rich. They're evil people, and they get rich. Get rich on what? Gold? Give them all the gold in the world. They'll get to heaven, and God will go, you got street pavement? You think you're rich? You got houses that burned in the fire? What car did you just get buried with that you brought to heaven? What kind of car do you need when you can travel the universe for eternity and enjoy new worlds and the new heaven and the new earth? Seriously, I don't want a car in heaven. I'm planning on living by the beach near the Crystal Sea and having a couple of dolphins. I'll be there in a few minutes. You picture your heaven, and I'll picture mine. Because no eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has prepared for those who believe. So Jesus knew something. The third one, the 2x4 didn't work, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the whole kitchen sink. And by the way, the kitchen sink's coming at you guys every day. That didn't work. So he hits him with a wrecking ball. I'll bring in the battering ram. Jesus, you're done. He led him to the highest point. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself off of this temple. For it's written, he will command his angels guarding. If you're the Son of God, God won't let, I mean, you're God's son. And here's the third one. It's called pride. And folks, I can't think of a greater sin. You talk about a wrecking ball in our lives. You know what pride is? Pride is worried about what everybody else thinks. And so you're going to live your life to approve and to be approved, and to be accepted. And people do that. I'm not going to lift my hands in worship. I'm not going to walk forward at an altar. I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to talk about Jesus. I'm not going to live my faith out. I'm going to participate. We spend so much time worried about what other people think of us, and God says the only person you should think of is, it is better to please God than please man. For which kingdom are you going to live for? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? I want heaven. I want all that God has for me. That's going to be a whole lot longer than the 51 years I've got now, maybe 70, maybe 60. I don't know when it's going to end. But I'll tell you what, eternity is going to make this world just pale in comparison to what God has for us. And he says, come on, throw yourself down. And boy, I'll tell you, men, boy, that's a pride issue. Are you strong enough? Aren't you great enough? Doesn't God love you enough? How many of us are like that? Hey, if God loves you, isn't he going to do this in your life? Whether he does or he doesn't is not the issue. I'm a Christian. I pass through the water, and I will not come out from under this rock. I'm covered. Wow. You know what he did? Let me close the service this way. He did it every time. He answered. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written, man does not live by bread alone. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It's written, don't bow to anything else in this world. It is written. It is written that God is able to do immeasurably and abundantly more than you can ask him. It is written that you are more than victorious through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is written that nothing shall separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height, nor depth, nor power, nor principality, nor past, nor present, nor angels, nor demons, nor anything in all of creation. It is written that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. It is written that man should not be alone. It is written to honor the Lord's day and keep the Sabbath. It is written. It is written. It is written. I've come that you might have life. And have it abundantly. I know what's written. You ask me how I keep away from biting into that lure? Here it is. Psalm 119 verse 9 tells you. You need to take this home with you. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word, O Lord. And then verse 11. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. God, I will not come out from this rock. I have everything I need right here. You have covered me and you've baptized me, and I'm yours. So this morning, the devil's casting his lure. He's going to hit you with the kitchen sink. Trust me. Some of you got hit with a sink this morning. Some of you tomorrow are going to get hit with a wrecking ball. You don't have to go. That's not sin. That's just temptation. Don't go get it. Don't go after it. Hell is for sale. Satan is trying to sell you hell, and it is for sale. Literally, folks, I'm going to tell you, literally hell is for sale here in Michigan. They're offering it for $5 million. You can own the town of hell. $5 million, it's for sale. You don't think Satan's trying to sell you hell? He wants you to live it. And you know, a group in Detroit, they're buying it. They're trying to, I'm not kidding you, the group's name is Damned, the Damned. They want to buy the city of hell and turn it into a tourist place. Someone said to me this week, Pastor, they ought to have a fire sale. That's some hot property. Well, right now it's frozen over. Seriously, they want to turn hell into a tourist place. Can I tell you something? Satan wants to turn this world into a tourist place for you as Christians, for you as people. He wants to sell you some property because he wants you to retire with him and pretend that you're on a vacation for all eternity. I'm not buying. I'm not for sale. You see, my price was already paid by one who took the hook. And he got me off the hook. And that's why I love him. That's why there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank him in the morning and praise him in the evening. Even when the kitchen sink hits me. And trust me, I'm human. We have kitchen sinks. We have wrecking balls. And the thing is, change my habits so I can confuse hell so they don't know what lure is going to work in my life. Let's stand and pray.